te pūrere hua. Te wārawa ki rungāra.
Kia ora and welcome to Oho Ake Books Podcast. My name is Farayus Lysander. I've got a lot to share today about some experiences I've had and some revelations and integrations after I took plant medicine last weekend at the base of the Akatauwera Ranges. This land is quite special because what goes on there has happened in this particular valley. A lot of this, I'm not saying where there is in the valley, but in the valley itself, there's been a lot of retreats where people have gone to and had experiences on plant medicine over the last few years. And even though those have all come to an end, they no longer happen down there in this particular area, in this valley, this beautiful valley, the energy that's imbued this property is still there of the people's revelations, their experiences of letting go, the energy that they've anchored into that place, and the people that come back there from their own plant medicine experiences, how they hold the space and the energy of that place when you come into that area and come into that space. And if they are there, they are almost like a switch, and they suddenly become able to hold the space in a way that affects everybody else that comes into that area and has an experience of being there. You feel like you've dropped in. You feel like you're in a safe place to be vulnerable. You feel this deep sense of connection to the earth. The earth energy there is very powerful, very grounding, very strong, but also very compassionate, but also tough as well. We have to say it'd be a tough, compassionate energy there as well. The stripping away of all the bullshit that we create and bring to that place. It has a tendency, if you bring our energy to that place, it has a tendency to pull it down, pull it away, so you can see your own bullshit. And then, therefore, you can either do two things. You can pack up your shit and get out of there and go home, or you can stay and you can move through it. You can move through it. Now, this festival was a much smaller ceremonial process, a ceremonial process with Wakchuma, grandfather, San Pedro cactus. And it was a small group of people hanging out around a river and a brazier, and they had guitars and djembes, and they had the whole day out there with nature, communing with nature, with each other, and setting the intentions from their hearts to have a particular experience, to let go of a particular way of life or a behavior, or to have a revelation about something, to find a way to be able to live from their hearts, or to find a way to pull away the illusions that were keeping their hearts from letting them live their life from their hearts. Because this is a heart medicine. Wakchuma is a heart medicine. It's not a recreational drug. This is not recreational, even though some people look at it that way. It's, for me personally, and for many people in that group of people I was hanging out with last weekend, it's not recreational and never has been, and it's not, most certainly not, a drug, a street drug. I've done many street drugs in my life, a lot, more than most will do in 3 or 4 lives. In fact, I was a cocaine addict for 3 years. I was an alcoholic for a whole year. I know what addiction's all about. I know what drugs are all about because I've done a lot of them. But this is not a drug. This is a plant medicine. This has helped me to evolve and grow and become a better fucking human because I took it. With the intention I took it. I don't take it all the time. I take it once or twice a year. And that's it for me at the moment. It's all I need it for. And I can tell you this. My experience with it last weekend was fucking life-changing. In so many ways. I intend to share that with you now. And I feel inspired because the people in my life that have come back into my life, now that my friend who has this where he lives, I won't say his name, but my friend who lives out there, he and I were neighbors many, many years ago. And he's definitely become a different person over the years as he's become more consciously aware, as he's done more plant medicine retreats over the years in various locations around the country. He's quite a different man than he was. And I knew him 7 or 8 years ago. Very different man. He's much more grounded. He's much more open. He's much more at peace with who he is. He's loving. He's funny. He's insightful. Very conscious. And he's a lovely human being to be around. I have to say that for sure. And I'm so grateful that he's come back into my life again. Now, when I heard what he was doing out there sometimes, I was like, oh man, I want to be part of that. And he invited me to come out there and be a part of it once. And I'm so grateful that he did because it's changed my life. to go out there and hang out with these people. They're wonderful people. They've all had their own revelations. They've all had their own experiences. They've all had their own healing processes with plant medicine. They've all had the dark nights of the soul. They've all had the nights of great revelation and ecstasy and integration later on after the medicine's worn off. And this is where I'll come to later on in regards to my own personal processes, because when the medicine had worn off for me and days later, I began to integrate into what I'd learned. Now, two things here as well. I want to thank Aaron Doughty and Victor Odo, because those two characters, those two men, have been instrumental as well for me in regards to understanding and coming to terms with my own plant medicine experience. Now, for years and years and years, I know all about plant medicine and people were integrating with it and using it. But I saw their methodologies and the way that they were doing it just didn't resonate with me whatsoever, because of the way that they were doing it, which was different to how I would do it and why I would do it and what I'd get out of it. Now, Aaron Doughty's videos on YouTube have been instrumental to me to have a greater understanding of what it means to take Wachuma, what it means to be in the process of experiencing Wachuma and the integration process afterwards. Now, Victor Odo and Aaron, Victor especially with Aaron, the last few times I've seen them talking about their experiences in Wachuma, have been instrumental in me understanding what it means for me to go ahead and have this experience and what intentions I'm going to set when I have this experience on this plant medicine when I take it. Now, I want to thank them both immensely in this podcast for the gifts that they have shared with us and their realism, their authenticity, their vulnerabilities, and their expressions and then what they've brought to the world and their gifts of themselves and what they've learned and how they've approached it. Because how they've approached it is how I've taken myself, my own conscious awareness, into this practice, into this ceremonial practice. Especially this, for me, it's very ceremonial. Always will be. It's a sacred, sacred medicine. It's not recreational. Never will be for me. It's a modality for my healing process. Big time. Big time. And that's the way I look at it. That's the way I always will look at this medicine. It's a modality for massive shifts and changes in my personal awareness. And I have to thank Victor Odo and Aaron Doughty, because they've helped me through their processes and through their honesty and vulnerability, their authenticity on YouTube about their own experiences, to help me understand where I needed to go through and how I needed to approach this medicine and this action. And I have approached it in a way, through their guidance, I really mean that, through their guidance, I've approached it in a way that's quite different to other people that have taken the medicine out there. And it's been massive for me in regards to what I got out of it because of the way I've approached this. So thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate it immensely, immensely. So last Saturday, during the daytime, I'd been there before, the week before, to help prepare the Wachuma. To help my friend to prepare it. And I was honored to be able to do this and to learn more about the plant and the medicine. It was an honor and a privilege to be part of this experience. And I did it with my heart full of love and admiration and, of course, surrender and respect and reverence for the medicine. And I was gifted with the experience of being able to be a part of this process of preparing. I went there on the Saturday morning, and this particular ceremonial event was happening on the Saturday afternoon through the whole night and the whole next day. Now, I got there on the Saturday morning quite unfocused and quite ungrounded. I wasn't sure how I was feeling at the time. I was feeling a little bit out of sorts, so to speak. I've been working very, very hard doing podcasts, doing video casts, creating video content. Also been watching a lot of clips and learning about upscaling my business, marketing my business, my online business, my online presence. I've been basically working, upskilling and reading and researching and doing video casts and podcasts and blogging my ass off for the last 6 to 7 weeks. I've been working crazy days, crazy long days, crazy long weeks, and also finding time to build friendships with people in my life that I become closer to or come back into my life. One person in particular who I really adore and love, who's become a very good friend, and I can see that our connection is going to keep evolving into a fantastic and deep friendship, and she will become one of my closest friends because of it. And I'm so grateful that she's in my life. Amazing human being. But at morning, I went to the ceremony and I thought, how can I be of service? was the first thing that came into my mind when I got there. How can I be of service to my friend? My friend's a little bit OCD. So people quite find it quite hard to hang out with him, work with him. They're like, oh, he's, you know, he's a bit fucking hard to work with. He's fucking, you know, you do that, he wants you to do this, and then he doesn't, you know, you can't do anything right. And I was like, okay, I need to be an extension of who he is, of what he wants of me. I need to be an arm and a leg of him. I need to get into his mind. I need to surrender my own ego here. Put that to the side and go like, right, what does my friend need of me? What does he need of me? And what he needed of me was to be an extension of him, of him, of his own body, of his own mind. Tell me what you want, bro, and I'll do it. How do you want me to, how do you want it to look? I built the hearth for the fire next to the main stage. I built it in a way that he wanted things changed. So I did that without any feeling of ill will or feeling of like, oh, come on, man. I just did it. I just got everything he asked of me. I did it. You want this? I did it. You want look like that? I did it. You want me to go and do this? I did it. Chop firewood? I'll do that. How big do you want the firewood length? This length? Yep. Okay, that's great. Yep. You want me to do anything else? You want me to do this? Yep. Do that? Yep. I just went around the whole day for almost 8 hours of being of complete service, surrendering my body and my will to him. And in that space of surrendering, I remember George Gurdjieff, The Fourth Way, how you become more embodied through the art of self-remembering, through the art of service and action, the art of doing things, working with the body, getting back into the body again, becoming more embodied in the body, doing things, dropping into the body, not in the head, dropping into the body. So I worked tirelessly for 8 hours. When I finished working, people began to arrive and the ceremonial festival began to get bigger and bigger. Now at about 6:30 at night, which is quite late, people who know what Wachuma is like, and they usually have it in the daytime. It's a daytime thing because of the length of it, length of the experience of the medicine, how it works with the body. People began to take the wa with some ceremonial cacao as well. So we had ceremonial cacao and Wachuma available for people that choose to take it. A lot of people took it in a way that wasn't ceremonial, but those of us who knew what we wanted to have, we set intentions for the weekend and for the evening. We took that medicine with the greatest and deepest reverence and respect. And I personally took not quite the full dose, the full ceremonial dose. I took a half. And I know that was all I needed to take. It was half the ceremonial dose that everyone else was taking, who was taking more of a ceremonial, full, balls deep dose. You know, I was like, nope. I need to go there. I've been there before many, many times. What I need is to go here. This is all I need. I feel it. I can feel it in my body. My body says, no, you need to go here. So I had a half the ceremonial dose with some ceremonial cacao. I did a ritual myself. I gave deep reverence and grace and thanks and a deep sense of surrender to the experience. I said to the medicine, okay, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to be? And I felt this deep sense of like, you've surrendered all day. You've surrendered all day. All you need to do now is just trust. Is just completely let go and trust. I will direct you where to go. So during the daytime, I've been asked to go down to the river and set up a little brazier at a riverbed next to a swimming hole where there was glowworms all on the bank in the forest. Which are little worms that hang down, that glow in the dark, that bring in little fireflies towards their light, they catch them and then they eat them. But these beautiful little glowworms were hanging in the bank behind the forest next to the water. And I went down to the brazier because no one had lit it yet. So I said to Fraser, my friend Fraser, who told me to go down and put the brazier down there, go down to the brazier and light the brazier, and that's going to be the area where people can go down to nature and be part of nature and chill out with nature, you know, rather than being at the party where there was a bit more music and DJs and live music and a different experience. So I went down to the river about 7 p.m., so the days are shorter here now. It's autumn in this part of the world. It's the fall. When I got down there, I put all the firewood into the brazier and I lit the brazier and I stood there and I began to give thanks to the fire for its heat, for its protection, for its wisdom, for its transmutation of all the energies that would come down there. And I said, thank you, fire spirit, for taking people's energies who come to this place and transmuting their energy and turning it into something glorious and beautiful, taking away their worries and their woes, all the things that are limiting for them, and transforming them, transmuting them into something powerful and beautiful in your flames and your heat and in your burning furnace. And I will be your instrument. You ask of me what you want. If you want more wood, I'll bring you more wood. I'll put more wood. If you want me to spin a log around, I'll do that. Just intuitively talk to me. Communicate with me. Tell me what you want, and I'll listen intently to what you ask of me. I was there for about half an hour by myself. People came down and had a look at me. Oh, this is really nice. We might come back here. And then they left. I was like, okay, all right. So I thought, well, I'll let the fire die down because no one was coming down. This is about an hour later. I was like, no one's coming down. It's just me and nature. I communicated with all the spirits in the area too and said, look, I'm here. I give thanks for you letting me be here. Please may all the people that come here, down here to be here, be safe, be protected, and may their processes of healing from their hearts be powerful, momentous, and also safe. And I felt this sense of like I'd connected into the area. I had communicated with all the beings that were there, and I felt everything was going to be A-okay, everything was going to be fine. So I left. So I needed to go to the toilet. So I went to the toilet, and I came back, and I thought, I'm not staying up at the house. I just can't do it. It's too busy up here. It's too crazy. The energy up here is too discordant. There's people up here that are in a party mode rather than actually in a situation where they're wanting to be ceremonial and to get their own experience of the medicine that they had taken in a very different way. They had approached it in a way that wasn't ceremonial to me, wasn't sacred to me. And I thought, well, that's your road, man. It's your path. You do that. But for me, it's a very different experience. And for some of my people I know around me, this is a very different experience. And I'm sure that they'll find a way to make their way under the river and they'll find me eventually. And that's where we'll be for most of the night. I had that feeling, just trust, surrender, let go. So I went down to the river, and I was down there for about another 10 minutes. Then people began to arrive with guitars and djembes and bongos and flutes. And we all just sat around initially, started playing some music and singing and chanting. It was beautiful, and I was uplifting and powerful, and I was like, wow, this is beautiful. And then a couple came around, started talking to me. And this couple happened to know all my friends. They were both used to work at Cirque du Soleil in Quebec, and been on tour with Cirque for many, many years all around the world, had lived an amazing lifestyle. And we immediately hit it off because a lot of my friends here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, have worked in circus for many, many years all over the world too. So they all knew each other. I mean, 1 degree of separation. And they too were in the same place that I was. They had a sense of deep reverence and deep surrender to the plant medicine. And they were, and we had this resonance. We immediately hit it off. Like we just began to offer insights to each other and understandings and deeper connections. It was beautiful. Like I felt really at peace with these people. Like so incredible. We laughed a lot. We shared anecdotal stories. We entertained each other. We shared insights and wisdom with each other. And in the midst of that, we decided that we'd start a podcast club where we would listen to all of us, me, my friend Aaron, Rosalie, and that we all start a podcast club where we'd listen to the same podcast. And we'd get on the phone and go, like, right, we're having dinner this night. Let's catch up. We'd go down to someone's house and we'd have dinner together and we'd talk about the podcast we all listen to. And we would offer our own subjective insights into the podcast and share the things that we all thought we could kind of connect with in regards to that podcast as well, which is just a brilliant idea. Fantastic, humorous, beautiful idea. I'm really looking forward to our first podcast club dinner. Another friend of mine came down here who was autistic, and I would consider more of a savant than being autistic because the way he looks at reality is very different, very, very different, and very powerful in regards to the way that his insights deconstruct emotion and take it out of the equation and be able to see people as they are. And even me, I was listening to him speak. I was just fascinated by the way he perceives reality, the way he looks at the reality, and the nuggets of gold that I got out of what he was saying about how he perceives reality, how he takes emotion out of the situation and begins to see people as they truly are, beyond the ego. It was just beautiful, powerful, and insightful. Really amazing. After that, a young lady who I met early in the evening came down and sat next to me. And she shared with me that in her vulnerability, and her heart being open the way it was, she'd taken both cacao and wachuma, how she was moving through a period of her life where she felt like she was on pause. and she was working things out. And she told me about her experience where she lived in Peru during the health crisis last year in the Sacred Valley for almost 3 months, living in a tent in the summertime in the Sacred Valley in Peru. And it sounded amazing. Her experience sounded incredible, living with indigenous people, the Quechua, living the way that they lived with other backpackers, other travelers, I just say other backpackers, other travelers who were also up in the Sacred Valley at the time, all living together in tents, living with this indigenous group of people up there in tents and experiencing this way of life for 3 months and dropping into it and really becoming part of the tribe, so to speak, which fascinated me. But I had this really strong urge to talk to her about Kura Tawhiti, which is Castle Hill here in the Arthur's Pass in New Zealand. I said to her, have you been there before? She said, no, I've always wanted to go there. And I knew then the reason why she'd come out to see me and talk to me was for me to share my experiences of being at Castle Hill, Kura Tawhiti, over the last 4 years. And to say to her, I think there's a calling there for you to go there. And she said, I've always wanted to go there. And I explained to her my own personal stories, anecdotes, and what I got from that place, and what I get from that place, and how it's been instrumental in my writing, United Witness, massive in those two books, that short story, and of course in United, Kura Tawhiti plays an enormous and monumental part in that novel, and one of the characters' storylines. So I explained to her my experience there, and she's like, I have to go there. I said, you have to go there, definitely. You have to go there. And I felt like I'd offer some wisdom and some insight she could take up, and it would put the wind beneath her wings as she went down there herself and had her own experience. And I felt incredibly grateful that I could share that knowledge with her, share that anecdotes with her, and share that information with her in a way that she could pick up, and it would allow her to give her that drive to go there, and to go there and set her own intentions down there and have her own experience with the energies down there. And she would evolve and become more consciously aware of her own life path because of her connection with that place, her own personal connection, not mine, her own personal connection. And when she left, I had a beautiful hug with her, and then she went. I felt like that was an amazing experience and a wonderful way to share the heart medicine with someone and to relate to them in a way that they could understand. And I could hear their stories of what it was like to be in South America during this time last year, when it was the beginning of their summer, of course, and how it would have been to be over there at that time. It sounded amazing. Incredible, incredible experience. So after that, when she'd gone, I remained at the site where I was next to the river for a little while longer before the rain came. When the rain came, we all went back to the house. I mean, we were in the house and it felt too discordant for all of us. We couldn't really be there. It just felt like it was, yeah, other people were gone there on street drugs and it was just really discordant. It felt like, yeah, I had to go home and go to bed. So I ended up leaving about 2 a.m. in the morning. I went home, back to my own bed, went to sleep. Woke up the next day and began to feel the integration of the medicine in my body and what I'd learned and what I'd downloaded, what it had shared with me, what I'd learned from that experience, what I'd understood from that experience. Initially, on Monday morning, after the Sunday, which was quite quiet for me and relaxed, I began to realize that my intention of letting go of all that was limiting me and keeping me from being bound in a particular way of life, which was my intention when I had my tumor on the Saturday night, was beginning to take effect in my life. On the Monday morning when I woke up, I realized that there's a certain topic that I've been blogging about for almost a year, consistently for almost a year. It was time for me to put it down. It was time for me to walk away from it. I understood that blogging about this particular topic was limiting me, holding me back from exploring other things and other avenues of expression, other means to look at other information that was presenting itself in a very powerful way. I realized there and then, in that final blog that I wrote on that Monday morning, this would be my final blog that I would write about this topic. The final one, after doing a whole year of writing about this and exposing this topic for people to read and to discern for themselves, I realized I had to move out of the way and let other people, there are hundreds of thousands of people that are doing this worldwide, writing about this, making videos about this. It was time for me to step back and let them do this. Let them do their beautiful and powerful and amazing work. But for me to focus my energies elsewhere. I felt incredible about that. I felt this deep sense of release and let go. I felt this sense of surrender. It's like the medicine was working through me still and integrating into my body, saying, you have to let this go. You have to let this go. You have to let this go. And I was like, wow, incredible, amazing, powerful, powerful. It was a big shift for me, an enormous shift for me. And part of that process of letting go too is letting go of the fear of the unknown. Even though I've gone into great lengths of healing before that Saturday night in regards to my own fear of the unknown and my fear of like being in a situation where I have an attraction to someone on a level that's egotistical and is wanting, and you feel a sense of lack because it's an egotistical, it's not there. There's no, you want this connection with somebody. It's an egotistical thing, which I've moved well beyond in the last few months. In the last year, in fact, I've gone well beyond that. But there's still that deep kind of like recurrent egotistical, oh, I want to have this connection with this person. I want to have this. I tell you what, on the Sunday when I saw that person, I was like, you know what? I can see now that what that was there before, and now it's no longer there. I look at this person and say, I felt this way for a long time. And I felt this way sincerely. But there is that deep recurrence of this energy still moving through my body on some level. But it was gone. It was no longer there. When I saw her, all I saw was my friend, someone who I cherished, who I loved to be around. That when she shared with me, her company meant everything to me. I cherished every single moment that I had with her. I expected nothing of her. I wanted nothing of her. All I wanted was to have a moment in her presence and to talk to her and feel comfortable and vulnerable and open and real and authentic, and for her to be whoever she wanted to be. That's all I wanted. And it felt empowering. I felt blessed. I felt blessed. And my heart was so full of love. I realized that the medicine was still working through me. Letting go, Father. Let it go. Let it go. Stop trying to control things. Just let go. Just let go. Go into your body. Where is the resistance, Far? Where's the resistance in your body? Let go. Just let go. And so I did. And I have. I've let go of any expectation. And the deepest, deepest, deepest levels that I thought I'd actually gone down to and let go of. No, no, no. The medicine took me down and said, hey, look, down here. Look down here. I said, oh. There's a big anchor down there. That's right. Let's pull it up and let it go. And pull it up, see it go back into the place where it came from. And now that ship has sailed away. And I'm no longer feeling this urge, this egotistical desire. It doesn't matter. I trust completely in the process. I've surrendered to this. I'm still working through this process in other parts of my life in regards to my work situation, in regards to my creativity, in regards to my expression, in regards to my business. It's still going on, man. I'm still releasing and letting go on very deep, deep levels. I still am going through that process. But in this particular process, in regards to the wanted ego, I want to have this experience with this person. And if I ever did have that deep repercussion, now it's gone. And I really have got to a place where I've completely let go. And now, on the most deepest of all levels, but before it was still very deep. But now I got down to this level that was like, oh, that's subterranean level, you know, below the surface. And it feels powerful and momentous for me, enormous. And part of that process was also letting go of this particular narrative in my life. This is limiting me. This is holding me back from being something else. I've done enough of this. People can go to my website, look at my blogs and read them and see it for themselves. They can see the whole year of work on that particular topic if they choose to. It's all there. But I don't want to give it any more power anymore. No, I don't want to. There are so many more powerful, amazing experiences and amazing narratives I can talk about. The light of my heart, the light of my awareness, of my soul is shining into my own personal shadow in a way like it never has before. And I feel that. Grandfather Medicine, Grandfather Wachuma showed me that and said that, look, you've done all this work over these many, many years. And look where you are now. Look where you are now. Look at the light that you are shining of awareness into your own personal shadow. Look what the light is showing you. You still have a shadow. Don't think you don't. I don't think I do. I don't. I know I do. Everyone casts a shadow, even when you're facing the sun and you've got a little note and you think, oh, I've done all this work, it's all no longer there. No, no, no. We all cast a shadow. And it goes back many, 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 many generations, many incarnations, ancestral and personal. But where you're at right now has no effect over your life. You can choose to let it have an effect over your life, or you can choose to see it and go, yeah, I have that. I have that. I can see it. But it has no effect. I don't give it any meaning in my life anymore. I give this meaning in my life now. I move from my heart and authenticity and the realness of the fucking real, and that is where I want to be. And the realness of the real. That's the space I want to be. And I feel as though Wachuma, this experience, has helped me to realize that. And there'll be many more to come, I'm sure, over the years. Many more to come. If I choose to have them, I do feel drawn to this medicine for that reason alone. But I'm not one of those people that has like these heroic doses that goes into other dimensions. I've been there before. I've done that. I don't need to take plant medicine for that reason alone. If I have plant medicine, I'm guided by the plant. I allow the plant to speak to me. If it says to me, okay, come with me down this rabbit hole, or come with me here, come with me and have this experience, well, I will do it. If it says to me, look, you don't need to go down the rabbit hole. All you need to do is connect with me and allow me to expand your awareness to a place where I can get you to connect with the other parts of yourself across multidimensional existence, other people and nature, and I'll guide you from there if you surrender to the experience. And I have. I did. When I got out of that integration days later, was massive for me. Enormous. I have come such a long fucking way. The person that I was, when I first came back to Aotearoa, New Zealand, 2002. I came back to this country, a cocaine addict, lost, wounded, broken. I came back to this country in 2002, a sex addict, and went almost cold turkey, almost, in that situation. More distraction. I fell in love with somebody when I first got back here, and I fucked it up because I was terrified of who I was. I was terrified of getting close to someone. My fear of rejection and abandonment were the biggest and deepest wounds that I am still working through and have healed to an extent now. I don't feel those parts of those traits, those wounds in my life. I no longer have any meaning in my life. They're just experiences to me now. I'm not afraid of getting close to somebody. I'm not afraid of being vulnerable to people. I'm not afraid of being close to somebody and holding space for somebody. But I am so fucking ridiculously strong on my boundaries that I understand that who I choose to give my energy and time to that way, I cherish my own strength and my own boundaries. It means so much to me now to be able to do that and who I choose to let in. And I can tell you this from my own personal experience in the last few months is the person that I've let in my life in that way, who's still a friend and is a friend, and she's a friend, that's it. She's a remarkable fucking human being. I'm seeing her evolve and change and become the person that she wants to become too. And I feel like I've got someone who's walking that path with me in her own way. And she's a friend. That's all. And I cherish it. I cherish the experiences I have with her when I do. Because she inspires me to be a better human, to be a good human, a decent human, a compassionate, empathetic human. And she's funny as fuck. She's awesome and wonderful. And I completely trust that when the time is right, I feel like I want to be able to share more with somebody. I'm not necessarily going to be her. The person that will come into my life will be the right person at the right time. Because that is who I'm becoming. And that will be a reflection of me, of where I'm at. Because of how I feel about myself inside. And Grandfather Wachuma has shown me many things about myself in regards to those strong boundaries, in regards to that deep, open, reverent heart, and the lessons that I learned about letting go of the things that limit me. Truly remarkable experience for me, and I'm so unbelievably grateful for them. Powerful medicine, powerful, powerful medicine. Deep reverence for it, deep respect for it. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it, man. Massive. Mate Wa. We'll talk again soon.
Dee-dee, dee-dee, ho. Dee-dee, dee-dee, ho.